9 and 10, and when they're baptized, that's how Jesus adds to the church. You can't add to it. Jesus is the only one that can add to his church. This church belongs to him. So, pastors, listen. I want you to know, you can't keep Jesus and his gospel, the full gospel, you can't keep it out of the church. You know? I mean, the gospel being fully taught, preached, demonstrated, and practiced from Genesis to Revelation. You can't bar the doors and keep the Holy Ghost out. He is to live in us, work in us, work through us, and he's supposed to work for us. It's his job. So teach the people John 14. I want you to remember that. If you don't remember nothing, if you're a pastor, preacher, a teacher, and you hear this word, I want you to make sure that you teach and preach John the 14th chapter. Make sure you do that. You know, and there's other signs that the message from the pulpit, you know, there's other signs. The messages from the pulpit, you know, they're human-centered rather than Bible truth-centered, God-centered, you know. These are the things that we have to make sure that we put back. These are the things that's dying. And that's what he was talking about. These are some of the things that's dying in the church. The message can't be centered on us and about some old world event, hockey and football. No, it can't be on that. It's got to be the message coming out of that pulpit. It can't be human-centered. It's got to be Bible truth, Bible truth-centered, God-centered, and which is the truth. And that's what we're going to have to preach in the pulpit. That's what we're going to have to get as preachers, teachers, and people that's up before others with congregations. And you say you're a pastor, preacher, teacher of the Word of God. Remember, if you don't do it according to God's will and wishes, it's a false gospel. And you're not preaching what God told you to preach. The scriptures in 2 Timothy 4 and 3, this is what it tells us, why pastors are especially, you know, they're going and doing the wrong things. You know, it's going to tell us. It's meaning that the preachers, you have to preach the whole gospel. Preach. Preach the whole gospel to the church. You know? And you get it into yourselves.
This is what we like to call you, Jesus, Jesus. That's what we call you, yeah. You were born in a manger, but on a tree,
died to save man. The teacher.
This is KAYT. Gina Alexandria, 88.1. The gospel is on your radio. Call a friend. And you tell somebody, 88.1.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
Turn your Bibles to Luke 23, verse 46. Our word for today comes from Luke 23, verse 46. And it says, "And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And when he had said thus, he gave up the ghost." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. You may be seated in God's presence. For just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, Father, I trust you. Father, I trust you. My brothers and sisters, as we look at this word today, it is such a powerful word that shows us as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ how if he, the only begotten Son of God, having gone through, dealt with everything he went through, that he was able to put his complete trust in God, the question becomes, what about us? As we celebrate this Father's Day, our attention is turned to the Father, because one of the things that we must note in biblical days of antiquity, the Spirit of the living God made clear to men, fathers, that their roles were very exemplary and exacting roles that the Father had set for them as to give instructions, as to give direction, as to set the place and the space of how the structure of society would be with Christian fathers. And one of the things that I think is important for us to recognize this day we celebrate fathers is the fact that when you think about fathers, stemming from biblical times, there are some things you ought to know that God expected of fathers. The first thing that fathers were expected to do was to be loving. Fathers must be loving. To exemplify the love of God to his family that God has shown to him, to be able to be the one that God can trust with the love that he has dispatched to the family unit through the head, which is the husband and father. It's important to understand that without love, the meaningful and premium quality by which we follow God, if the love is missing, the rest is worthless. That's why we must be loving fathers, loving husbands, loving men, because we reflect the love of God. Now, next thing the Word of God makes clear through all of these examples and the things, again, that hailed from the past and from antiquity is the fact that not only must fathers be loving, but they must also be leading. They must be leaders. Fathers are called to be leaders, the head of the household. In the New Testament, they're called the priests of the household. But God has given the responsibility, and I want to throw this out parenthetically to all husbands, all fathers, to the men of their homes. Listen. Everything that happens in your house, you're responsible for. So when you understand your role, you need to understand God is expecting you to have your family in control. Now listen, because of your role, you can't be everywhere at every time, but you are supposed to have things in such a structure and a order whereby you get a report of what's going on. You ought not have to have folk tell you in the street what's going on in your house. Yeah, you ought to have interaction with your wife and with your children. You ought to get reports and updates on that day, what they're doing, what they're going through, what they're dealing with, how did they handle it, because they don't want to embarrass God, nor do they want to embarrass you. So you want to tell them at the end of the day you did well or you didn't handle that the right way. Let me tell you how to handle that if that comes up again, or let me show you and let's go back and revisit with that matter again. You see, that was the role of the leader of the house. Yeah, some wives say, yeah, he the head, but I'm the neck. And ain't nothing wrong with being the neck, especially if you're not a giraffe's neck. And most women, when they say they're the neck, they mean giraffe neck. They mean they control the head. Y'all can get quiet if you want. I'm just preaching the truth. But listen, brothers, regardless of how you let things go on in your house, you are accountable and responsible to God. You've got to know. Everything that happens in your house, God is holding you responsible for it. Now listen, he's not expecting you to be no crazed maniac, nobody acting like they done lost their mind. You know, I mean that, you know, people can't breathe and can't, you know, laugh, can't enjoy home, can't do, no, not none of that militant, military, crazy kind of junk. Like you some little Caesar. You Adolf Hitler. You know, ain't none of that foolishness. But you've got to be in control so that everybody understands the structure. The structure. That's why you've got to be careful to do it according to God's way. God's way. Not only must he be loving and must be the leader, but he must be the provider. How does this bring all of this together, especially in our day and time? Many of our fathers and husbands are not the providers. They've run off and not taken responsibility of taking care of their homes, providing for their wives and children, still married but acting single, spending more money and time in the streets and leaving the home undone. Paul said you're worse than an infidel. Undone. Worse than an infidel. Those belong to you at home. Listen, and you can't make right wrong, and you can't make wrong right. Right is right, and wrong is wrong. The old folk and the old men and those out in the world who had a little sense of family and responsibility say, if you're going to at least tip, take care home. All right. Now I want to talk some truth here, because I don't subscribe to that, but I'm just trying to tell you, even the folk in the world who had sense enough to know that if you don't take care of home, that's coming doubly back on you, because you're responsible for what God has given to you, not the stuff out in the street. Talk about, she just don't understand me. She don't understand you because you don't talk to her. But that stuff out in the streets, you telling everything you know. And so they ain't crazy. They know how to handle your crazy, foolish, silly, crazy, stupid, ignorant self. Woman no more than the woman. Something wrong with that picture. Then you give her ammunition to tear up your home, because you tell her all of the junk and the mess and the all of that. So they know what to do. What the one at home ain't doing, you telling her. But listen, you got to realize that's just part-time she doing it. The one at home is on a full-time basis. You ain't got to say amen to me. I know I'm telling truth here. If your grass don't look green, water it. Fertilize it. Take care of it and stop thinking it looks better on the other side, because it's just fooling you. Now, it's amazing. When I was preaching nothing but word, y'all ain't had nothing to say. Now you're... Even the ones all twisted faces. Now, look at them now. Provide. Christian man provides for his home, making it everything it ought to be. So it's a pleasure for everybody to want to come home. Home ought to be your little piece of heaven on earth. Everything you need ought to be at home. You ought not have to go nowhere to no one else to get what you need to have at home. And if you ain't got it at home, you need to call some home meetings so folk can do some homework to get the situation straight. I know I ain't even got to my text yet, but this is just the introduction. But I can see I'm gonna have to leave it alone, because y'all ain't trying to pray with me yet. Not only must they be providers, but they must be disciplinaries. See, the father's role is to take care of the major disciplinary actions, while the wives take care of the daily disciplinary actions. There are things while the father is working, providing for his family, that he can't be at home doing at the same time. So the wife has to step in and be the daily disciplinarian. And when those children, for whatever reason, seem to disrespect her, when daddy comes home. That's why when you're a good, strong family unit, you tell them, well, you wait till your father gets home. And it strikes a chord of fear in them, because they know what happens when daddy get home. I used to have knowledge of my relatives, and I used to stay with my cousins sometime in the summertime for breaks, and I had some cousins that just didn't know how to act. And when their children would act up, the mother would say, you just wait till I tell your daddy. You wait till your daddy come home. And by God's grace, that man would come home and beat them children so bad till I cried. God is my witness, I'm not lying. And And I say, you know, something must be wrong with my cousins. To get a beat down like that and you still act a fool, you wouldn't have to worry about me no more in life if I got those kind of beatings. But the Bible says, spare the rod. Spoil the child. You got to break that spirit in some of them. You know, our modern teaching doesn't teach us that. It's a whole new philosophy. And I understand whatever it is that you think you have to do, as long as it does not contradict the word of God, you do it. Because listen, if spoiling the rod, if the rod is reaching your child by talking to them, then that's fine. If the rod is punishing your child and that reaches them, that's fine. If spoiling the rod means, you know, you giving them a little bit and that does it for them, fine. If you balling up your, you know, mouth and rolling your eyes is more than enough for them and they get scared and the fear of God in them and they change their way, that's fine. But if not, whatever it takes to change them is your responsibility. Sometimes children act up for attention. They get in detention for attention. Y'all gonna catch that on your way home. Because don't nobody care at home what they say, what they do, how they act up. And so discipline was a part of the father's responsibility. He did the major discipline. Mother did the daily discipline. And then the last thing was the father's job was to direct his family. Direct him. Train up a child in the way that he should go when he grows older. He will not depart from that training. The father's job is to know his children so well and to know the purpose of God. That's why when fathers in ancient antiquity named their children, they named them with purpose in mind. When they named them looking toward their future. They gave them names that gave to them a focus, a direction, a guidance in life. They didn't name them no crazy names. They didn't give them some of the crazy names that we got today. You set your child up to fight in school. You set your child up to be ridiculed in school with some of the crazy names you give. And fathers, in ancient times, it didn't matter what nobody called the child. It was not official till the father said what the name was. And Elizabeth and Zechariah got ready to name John. Everybody in their family told them, why are you naming that child John? That's not a name of our heritage. Where did you come from with that name? But Zechariah had found out God had given him a responsibility to name John John, because John means God is gracious. And he started listening to the neck. And God shut up his vocal cords so that he couldn't say another word. And when John came and it was time for them on the eighth day to officially give the name, God loosed his vocal cords. And they said, "Sir, what name will you call this boy?" And he said, "John." And John was his name. And God's been using John's. Oh, it's right there in Scripture. He used John to be the forerunner of Jesus. He used John to baptize Jesus. He used John on the Isle of Patmos. He used John to give the revelation to. Y'all not hear me. He used John to lead greater King David. That's direction came from the Father. If fathers would give more of their children directions. Tiger Woods' father, from a child, directed his son in the way that he wanted him to go. So he put a club in his hands when he was just a baby. Took him out on the golf course with him. Started showing him the game, teaching him the game. Next thing you know, he became one of the greatest names in golfing. The Williams sisters. They didn't come from royalty. Didn't have a regal father. But a father had a dream. And directed those girls. He knew it wasn't much out there that they could aspire to on the level of life they had come from, didn't have much to work with, but he did know their athletic ability, and he put a racket in their hand to try and keep them out of the racket. And he invested himself, his time, and his money in teaching and instructing and getting teachers and instructors to work with them one-on-one and as a team until he developed them so much that everything he put into them, sold into them, he has gotten paid some wonderful dividends on. Lord, I wish I had a helper in the house. Archie Manning has some sons. And Archer, all he could do was throw a ball. And he grew up wanting his boys to throw balls also. And both of his boys, listen, were so good at throwing balls, they thought they'd meet in the Super Bowl. They were fighting to get to the Super Bowl. But it's all because the father directed them in the way that they should go. Am I talking to anybody in the house? And so because of that role of the Father, when Jesus said, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." It was because the Father had directed Jesus to come to planet Earth, to minister to the people who would receive the ministry of God, and then for his mission, he would go to Calvary. And to give his life for whosoever will. And God, when he laid down his life, the agreement was 3 days and three nights later, God would raise him from the dead. And so faithful was the confidence in his Father that he cried out, "Father, into thy hands I trust you with my soul." No one else, no one better. You've taught me, you've been with me, we've done from eternity to eternity. Now what's being manifested in the earth realm, I trust you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
To make it happen. And when Jesus gave up the ghost, the old preacher